Today's date is January 15th, 2020. There are three of us from the Historical Commission, Patricia Snook, Kathy Prescott, and me, Joyce Johnston, sitting here with Don Glenn. Don Glenn is a young man who grew up in Polk County and has some family history of Polk County that he was going to share with us today. So, Don, it's yours.
Well, hello, and Happy New Year. I'm so pleased to be here. This is something that I cherish, and that is my family history. As a playwright, I have incorporated that family history in a lot of my work. And over the years, it has been part of our family's folklore. My family loved to tell stories. When I was a kid, we would just sit out on the porch, and my grandmother would tell stories about her father, her grandfather, her grandparents. And I was always so fascinated by the fact that these old Indians came across the Mississippi to come to Texas. And as I began to actually do research, I was able to connect the folklore of what we were talking about on the porch to actual documents and facts. And Chief John Blunt was the tribal chief that came into Polk County. They brought the Apalachicola Indians here. And we have been here, part of that tribe, since 1834. As she goes on to tell more and more folklore, she talked about her grandmother, who she took care of, who lived to be 97, and she was born a slave here in Texas. And she married her grandfather, my grandmother's grandfather, which she called Umps. All of our lives, we just knew him by Umps. And as, once again, start doing more research on it, I began to find documents of this. And his actual name was Armstead Williams, born in Arkansas in 1833, and was brought to Texas and was emancipated in 1860 after the war, after the Civil War. So all of this rich history began to click as I began to do the research, and I just thought how wonderful this folklore was and how grateful, and I get a little emotional about it because it was a wonderful gift from God to have these stories passed down to me. And my grandmother lived to be 110.
Wow.
And she has so many rich stories to tell. And as a playwright, I just feel so blessed that these plays that I write are connected to these stories. And one of the things that most people asked about my plays, because the structure is always titled in some way American. It has the American in it. The one show that was done actually around the country, all over the country from the East Coast to the West Coast and in New York, won several awards in New York for best play, best director, was named American Menu. And it was produced here in Texas at the Ensemble Theater in 2010 and was cited as one of the best shows of that season. All of those shows have America in the title. And American King Umps, American Menu, American Schoolhouses, all of those shows connect to these folklores that my grandmother and my mother would tell, and my father's family. And I wanted to connect those stories in that way and have that American theme in there because those stories for me was America. My grandmother's folklore, my mom's folklore, that was the America that I knew, and it was beautiful. It was beautiful because it meant that we actually came not only to this country, but we were born in this country. And this was our country as well, and it connected us to the American dream. And I want to express in those plays that, and so many times you'll hear in interviews or you'll see in papers the African-American story or the African-American experience or the Native experience. I always feel that's good because those things should be pointed out in that way. But knowing in the direct line of where I am and who I came from, it connects me more to saying that my story is the American story. Just as the Irish story or the Italian story, just as any immigrant that came to America and found its roots and became America, and their stories are American stories. And that's how I felt, and I feel grateful, because it's not always so for a lot of, especially African Americans, and African Americans of that have been part of the slave descent. It's that there are people I would meet or talk to that says, oh, that's something that we don't know about. We don't know the slave history of our people. Or that is something that, well, we consider to be ancient history to us because we can't go back that far. And my grandmother took care of her grandmother who was born a slave. And it was emancipated and lived to hold 3 generations of freedom in her hand. That's amazing. That's amazing. We can connect to that. And she died in 1949. She died in 1949. So she saw amazing things. And her name was Caroline Williams. And my grandmother called her Grandma Duck. That's all we ever knew of her, as her name was Grandma Duck. And then we started finding more research and finding people's name. And it's amazing to find all these records and to find her and Grandpa Ump's records of being married in 1874 and connecting to the folklore that she was just 11 years old when she walked off the plantation and the only thing she had was a mixing bowl that we still have today. And that when she was just 13, and it is a way that, you know, you feel a different time. That our Grandpa Umps was 30 when he was emancipated, and he had lost his first family. So he said when he became free again, he wanted to have another family that couldn't be sold. And he married this young 13-year-old, and you say, girl, it's one 13-year-old child who started a whole another family. And had that not been part of his idea of freedom to have another family, I wouldn't be sitting here in the form that I am. So it's amazing to me. And all of it sort of ended up right here in Texas in Polk County. I think that's also amazing. And when I go across the country and I work on different plays and work with different people, all of this is connected in my work. I just returned from Portland from a commission of a play, and we were talking about how can we connect this in a historical way. And the play's concept is Martha Bakes, which is a short one-woman show about Martha Washington. So she's in the kitchen and she's baking and she's telling all of her tales and also revealing who she is, because I feel that Martha, part of American history, once again connecting to my ideas of American history, I feel that Martha Washington and women of that era were not as well represented as the founding fathers. George Washington now still is a permanent icon in our American history. And if you read his biographies and if you read Martha's letters, which are only a few that survive, it is very clear that George Washington wouldn't have been in the position that he was in had it not been for Martha Washington. So in this play, once again, connecting to those roots and connecting to identity and the forms of lost identity, that's part of that American history. That's part of saying when the Constitution was written during this revolutionary time, there were two sections of our society that really didn't, the men really didn't mean to include into the Constitution. And that was women and that was the slaves that they owned. So that play sort of once again connects me and connects my ideas and concepts to how to tell the American story in a different way, you know. I now have returned to Texas. I worked in New York for over 20 years. I was one of the first archivists for the Lincoln Center Library, the Billy Rose Theater Collection. My collections for Off-Off Broadway projects are still there and thriving. I returned to the archive in August of this last year, and some of the people that I work with were still there. And 30 years later, we had so much fun. I got to check over my archives and the photos and things that I collected. And part of the Off-Off Broadway collection was going out into the theater community to collect photographs, programs, view shows, things that actually would have gotten lost because it was off-Broadway and not Broadway. We have a full collection. It's still continuing. The Theater on Film and Tape Archive, Lucille Lartel's collection, actually has included the Off-Off-Broadway collection into their archive. So I was able to do a great deal of work by the blessings of God, because I was 22 when I went to New York. And I went there after being in a play here in Texas at Stages Repertory. And I wanted to go on vacation after the show was Macbeth, and I wanted to see New York. And I said, I'll return for the next season. Just send my check to my grandmother's house. And the lady on the other end of the phone just said, I'm sorry, there are no checks. We have gone bankrupt and the theater's closing. Oh, no. I'm here in New York, so let me just, you know, look for a job. And I went across the street to the New York Public Library, and I said, where would you apply for a job? And the man said, follow me upstairs. And I did, and I applied for the job. We had an interview that same day, and she said, are you interested in working, you know, very soon? I said, as soon as possible. And so she said, we'll call you and let you know how it goes. I got home and the phone rang, or I got to the apartment with my friends that I was staying with, and the phone rang, and it was the lady from HR, and she says, can you go to the Lincoln Center tomorrow? We want to show you around, and possibly this is where you would be working. And I was like, wow, okay. I don't know where the Lincoln Center is, but I'll find it. She says, it's just a few stops on the train. So I went there, worked there for 10 years and another 5 years as a consultant. And it was a wonderful situation. And all of it, by the grace of God, it connected me with so many wonderful people. I was able to meet Helen Hayes, Judith Jamerson from Alvin Ailey. I met all these incredible people of the African-American actress from Gone with the Wind, her favorite line of, I don't know nothing about birthing babies. It was just amazing. It was amazing archive, and they had over a million articles and materials that we all had us to work on, and I just loved it. So in that time period of being in New York for nearly 20 years, I was able to produce work with theater companies, work with young actors that are now still there on Broadway and doing incredible work. My young cousin, Kendra Moore, who is a descendant of Umps and this whole group of people that I was talking about, she is still in New York. She worked for The Lion King as a dancer for 15 years, and now she's the company manager for the New York show. So she and our family and the rest of our family, somewhere in those genes, we had a performing gene. The other member, Kenny Walker, he has been with Little Richard for over 40-some years, playing with Little Richard from different gigs. He plays the sax. So somewhere in our genes, we got this performing gene. And I say to my cousins, I say, I think it must have come from our family well ability to tell stories and hold on to these folklores. Because at one point, and Kathy would know that we all would know, limited access to television. So it was a joy to listen to all these stories, even though you had heard them 1,000 times. And with all of that, I would say just learned and blessed knowledge from my family's folklore to actually being a part of professional theater and working in New York City, and being an archivist and knowing the importance of preserving work and preserving art, to now where I am today, working as the president and artistic director for Angelina Community Theater. I use all of that, every single thing I have collected over the years to build the company. We started out with $800 in the bank without a home, but the desire to do theater and to have a community theater in Lufkin again. It was a 12-year absence of a community theater. So when we returned as a community theater, we had the interest of the community to continue to support us. So now we're at a point where we have partnered with the VFW Hall. They have given us space to create a theater, and we have the community that have donated money, have donated time, effort. We have a wonderful stage there and a professional lighting board, curtains. All of this just came out of how to put a hat together, how to sew it together bit by bit by bit. And I'm really proud to say the productions that we have done have been just wonderful productions. And we're talking about people that have been on stage for a lifetime, to people who just walked in the door saying, this is my first time, I just want to find out what it's all about. And I think that's what community theater is. Community theater, I think we're trying to represent, or what my vision is, what is to represent the original idea of Irish theater. The Irish believed in a community should have a place to go so people can tell their story. And that's how the idea of community theater came about in the late 1800s. So I want to continue that idea. I want to continue with the fact that if you need a place, every community should have a place to tell their story, listen to those stories, be able to express themselves in some way, come out of their ordinary and really explore. And that's also for the audience. Sometimes as an audience member, you don't get the opportunity to explore another community or another culture or another side of the world. But when you're sitting in that seat, in that theater seat, it comes alive that you're part of that community. And that's what I love about theater. It has a way of reaching people. I love the idea that live theater, live performance, you can't beat it. You can't, every time you come to that theater, every time you see that show, it's gonna be a different show. And every time the actors are on stage, every night for them is gonna be different. Same material, but it's gonna be different. It's like a tree falling in the woods. Someone said, if a tree falls in the woods and no one's around to hear it, does it make a sound? That's the way live theater is. Is you're actually sitting there watching the tree sound and watching that tree fall and hearing that sound. And you can't get that from anything else. So I'm very blessed and very pleased that all of my experience and all of my career connects me back to home. And I can't tell you how very proud I am from the people that have supported me here over the years. I mean, they from day one have became my family. Ruth Hollenbeck has just always just have taken me under her wings, and we have been not only just friends but family, and I think of her as a second mother.
Dawn, when did you know this was your calling? When did you get interested the first time?
The first time I got interested in this year was and I was a sophomore, and Ruth had said to me, "You're a wonderful artist. You do great graphic work." And I had just won the National Advertisement Award from Washington, D.C. And she said, "But you have to be able to explain your work, because you have to be able to be articulate enough to explain what this work is about. And I want to put you in a speech class." So went to a speech class, and I just thought, this is the weirdest thing. People love shaking their hands and moving their lips around. And she handed me A Raisin in the Sun, and she said, "I want you to do a scene out of this with Rita Miles and Johnson, one of Sonny Johnson's sons." And we did a scene from The Raisin in the Sun. And after that, I was hooked. I was able to portray someone that I wasn't, but someone I felt connected to. And I felt it wasn't me, but it was me expressing myself. And I was able to somewhat come out of this little shell that I was in. So I just think I owe a lot to Ruth, because she wasn't saying, "Oh, you know, I see this great actor," or "I see this great playwright." She was saying, "I see someone that needs help in an area that is gonna make them stronger, and will make them a stronger student, will make them a stronger person, and will give them confidence." And it was that step. That was the first step towards being in the theater and feeling, wow, I've actually found a place for myself.
And then winning the one-act plays didn't hurt anything.
that year, I think it was 1983, 84 season in school, and we won for Shadowbox. We went all over the county. Then
yeah,
we won,
I didn't know that.
Went to state, and we finally made it to the finals in state. A lot of people said it was just an incredible performance. But it was an incredible time for all of us. Nancy Brown, Matt Floyd, and the other Mike Overhoff. Patty Kaninsky. That's her last name. But we were all in this show, and we bonded together. We became friends. We still connect to each other. And it was exciting. It really was exciting. But also connecting with from high school, moving on to college, Patricia Baldwin became a wonderful champion for me in many ways, not only just in the theater, but as a friend, as a family mm-hmm. member. That was 30 some years ago when I went to Angelina College. She made sure that I continued to connect with the college. At one point, I think it was 20 years after I had left the college and I was in New York, she had me come home to do a couple of lectures. And I turned to her and I said, Pat, what do you think I should do about this or that? And she looks at me and she said, you're the one who is actually experiencing live theater and performance and what's happening now. Mm-hmm. She said, you tell me. So from that point where the mentor, the position shift, and she was, and from that point, she always allowed me to give that knowledge or to give that career information to the students that she was mentoring and the students that she, that was under her tutelage. And I felt that was the most empowering thing that had happened to me in my career. So 30 some years later, 35 years later, she's 87 and I'm 50 something. With Angelina Community Theater, we were able to bring Pat back to the theater. She had, of course, retired, and I convinced her. I said, Pat, we have to do Driving Miss Daisy. At 87, she got on the stage, and she did an incredible performance, and I was her Hulk. And it was just amazing. And at the end of the show, you had that moment where it's just you, the audience is bawling, you're bawling on stage, and she says that magic word, Hulk, you are my best friend. And of course it rings just so true from the heart, because we had been together that mm-hmm. long, and we had been partners in the theater and partners in our lives and family, mm-hmm. and it was something I'll never forget in my life.
Does anybody have any other questions or a question for Don or no? Mm-hmm. This has been a treat for me, a real
you.
Treat. I have heard of you and I've never met you. I can't wait to go to some of your plays.
Oh,
you know,
nice. When they were in high school, it was awesome. It was fun.
It was fun.
It was fun. It was yeah. really a great time. Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
mm-hmm. I'm thankful for this interview today and sharing it with our fellow Polk Countyans. Also look forward to you looking into Polk County having a community theater.